Jesus may have had some interesting experiences with the apostles. If that's true, I suspect that there were some very interesting experiences beyond what we have in the scriptures as far as interactions with Peter. We know from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, that on a certain day, Peter came to the Lord and he said, "Jesus, I have a question. I want to know about forgiveness." This is the place where Peter said to Jesus, "If a brother sins against me, how often should I forgive him?" Well, you may remember from that account that Peter offered a possible answer. He said, "Seven times." You may also remember the Lord's answer. Jesus said, "Not seven times, but Peter, I say unto you, 70 times seven." You probably know that story very well. But have you noticed that as you look at Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, after that exchange, in just about every English translation I checked, you have the word therefore. Therefore follows that exchange, that interaction with Peter. It is perhaps very tempting to read through that and say, well, okay, we know all the details about that. This afternoon, I'd like to suggest that that just sets the stage for some very important information. Jesus, after having that discussion with Peter, launches into a discussion about the kingdom. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like. If we want to be a Christian, one of the items that we need to be well-versed in, one of the subjects that needs to be very familiar to us, is the topic of forgiveness. In Matthew 18, verse 21 and following, Jesus specifically associated the kingdom of God, or the church, Christian living, with the subject of forgiveness. I know that several have turned to Matthew chapter 18, and I'm grateful for that. I want to read most of what Jesus has to say concerning this, some would call it a parable, so this kingdom teaching, this information about forgiveness. And again, this is not new. But based on the last two lessons that we've had, it's appropriate to terminate our series this way. He says, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25. But forasmuch as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 shillings. And he laid hold on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay what thou owest. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay that which was due. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceeding sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord called him unto him, and saith to him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due. And then here's the conclusion. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Throughout the centuries, people have owed money to someone. There's a song, I don't know if you like him or not, but Ernie Ford, he's not the only one who sung this song, but 16 Tons, maybe a song that you are familiar with, at least some of the words in it. It was a song about the coal mines in Kentucky. And here are the famous words. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Now, I like those words, especially as we look at today's information about forgiveness. That song reminds us that people can rack up some debts. Sometimes they can not only rack up debts, but they can rack up huge debts, maybe to the point of even needing to file bankruptcy. If we can understand debt, bills, in the secular realm, then we have a pretty good basis to understand what the Bible talks about when it refers to sin. Understanding debt in the secular realm also helps us have some comprehension of the word forgiveness. I don't know if you saw it or not, but a few days ago, probably 4 or 5 days ago, the First African Baptist Church in Sharon Hill, Pennsylvania, got a phone call. The bank called this Baptist church. And the bank said, we have some news for you. Well, the preacher got the call of his life. The bank said your $4 million mortgage, your $4 million debt on this piece of property has been paid off. There was an anonymous donor who decided to just eliminate your mortgage. I think I might have dropped the phone, had that been me. But this fellow said, what a blessing, what a great thing that someone has paid the $4 million bill. Well, when we look at Matthew chapter 18, what do we find? The amount that we were introduced to is 10,000 talents. Now, a little bit of technical information about that number. This was the largest of the Greek numbers for Greek calculations. A talent at the time was the largest measure of currency in Asia. We cannot put, as far as I can tell, an exact number on how large the 10,000 talent debt was, but some people have offered up $10 million as a good approximate number. So let's use that for today's lesson. There was a Baptist church a few days ago who received a nice gift. A $4 million debt was eliminated, and the people involved with that religious group thought that was a very substantial blessing. But imagine not being a group. Imagine not being an organization. But we are an individual who owes not just $4 million, but we owe $10 million. Four would be great. Eight would certainly be a fantastic amount, but $10 million. Now, if you take that debt described by Jesus, a $10 million debt, and you look at it in terms of how much people were paid in the first century, you can get some additional statistics. 60 million days. 60 million work days would have been necessary to pay off this debt. Some people think working to 62 or 65 or 70 is a long time. Well, you're not going to have any retirement if it's 60 million days. If you translate that debt into years, here's how it breaks down. You need to work, if you were working 7 days a week, paying every dollar that you got, 164,000 years of work is what 60 million days would equate to. Somebody says, well, I want a couple days off. If you were working 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year, 240,000 years would have been necessary to pay this debt. So as we look at the 10,000 talent debt, I mean, this was absolutely substantial. And then there's this. We don't know if these talents were silver or gold. The information I gave you was for silver talents. Had this been gold, the amount would have been 30 times greater. So when Jesus lays out this debt, I mean, it is almost incomprehensible. He used an illustration which literally stretches the mind. As we look at this account, it is noteworthy to point out what we do not find. As the Lord talks to the servant, and we don't know how this fellow got in debt. Did he borrow the money or exactly what created the debt? Jesus didn't give us that information. But have you ever noticed that the servant doesn't deny the debt? He doesn't say to the Lord, well, there's been a mistake in the bookkeeping and I don't owe the debt. No, he recognizes, he does acknowledge that he owes the debt. And have you ever noticed that the fellow did not try to negotiate down the debt? Well, you know, let's just say, oh, half that amount. That still would have been more than he could have possibly repaid. But he recognizes that the debt is his. He acknowledges fully what he owes. The Bible does say that the fella asked for patience. He also, according to the text, worships the Lord or the King. And that's expressed with the imperfect tense. So you get the picture. The Lord, the King, has called him before him. And he is offering homage. He is doing everything he can to plead for patience and time. In an earlier lesson, I drew from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. In the Corinthian letter, Paul said that love takes no account of evil. Love does not keep records. And the pleading servant in Matthew chapter 18 happens to use a word which is also found in 1 Corinthians 13. It's not in 1 Corinthians 13, 5. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Remember how Paul said love is long-suffering? Well, that same word is used here in Matthew chapter 18. This man who owes this multi-million dollar debt says, be long-suffering with me, be patient with me, have kindness, show mercy and compassion on me. As you look at the account, verse 27 says the king was moved. Not moved to put the guy in prison. But the text says that the fellow was moved to give compassion to this man. He says the servant was released. That word translated released is the same word that's used of divorce in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. The debt was forgiven. The debt was chopped off from his account, if you will, so to speak. Now, had the king reduced the man's debt by 90%, would you not say that would have been generous? Very generous. Had the king said, I'm going to remove all but 1% of the debt, 99% of the debt is going to be eliminated. What a great act of mercy on the part of the king. But the king didn't do that. In fact, the king said, I don't want a single cent from you. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to eliminate every aspect, every part of the debt. Now, had we been in the first century, listening to Jesus on this day, and maybe thinking about what Peter had said to the Lord, had that been me, had that been us, I or we might have been asking ourselves this question. Wow, this is an incredible story. Jesus started out in a most unusual, in a most magnificent way, and I want to know what happens next. Please, Jesus, continue to fill in the pieces. What did the forgiven man do after this $10 million, maybe 30 times that amount, was forgiven? Well, the Lord was a master teacher. And as we look at this account, we find that Jesus had the next chapter ready. And the next chapter is found in verses 28 to 30 of this account. Now, we're not told how much time passed between the period where this man was forgiven his multi-million dollar debt and he goes out, as we read, and finds another fellow who's also a debtor. Maybe it was immediate, or maybe it was a week or a month or maybe a year. However long it was, even if there was a period of several years, 5 or 10 years, the fellow who'd been forgiven that multi-million dollar debt, unless he got Alzheimer's, he should have never forgotten that. He should have remembered how gracious and how kind that Lord was to him. At some point, whether it was a few weeks or maybe it was several weeks, at some point, verses 28 through 30, tell us that the man who had been forgiven his debt, he goes out and he finds another man. And this other man is a fellow servant. And as I mentioned, this new fellow, the second character in the story, is a debtor. And Jesus says this fellow didn't owe talents. This fellow owed shillings. If you take the number of shillings and you put it into today's realm, again, we can't be too precise. But if you want a good round number, the guy owed about $20. Now, based on our earlier lesson, what we're thinking about this morning, this small debt should have been one that was quickly and easily erased. It really seems unseemly for a man who has been forgiven of a $10 million debt, and maybe 30 times that amount, to be forgiven of that, and then to go out and try to shake down a guy who owes him $20. That just seems absolutely wrong. I can't imagine that anybody could conclude in looking at that and say, well, that's right, he was just in doing that. If there is an example in the Bible of pettiness, if there is an example of frivolous and trivial concerns, it's this. This guy going out and finding the fella who owes less than $50, less than $100. But that's what this guy did. Forgiven of the multi-million dollar debt, he goes out, he finds this fella, and the Bible says he laid hold on him. Didn't just go up and say, hey, you remember that $20 you owe me? No. The Bible says he laid hold on him. And then he grabs the guy by the throat. He becomes physically aggressive. And if you were to look at the original text, you would find that this is expressed with the imperfect tense. This is continued activity. Maybe the fellow was shaking him. You remember that money? I'm going to shake it out of you. If not literally, figuratively. When a person is attacked in that kind of way, somebody comes up and begins to grab the clothes and maybe shake them and rough them up a little bit, it's natural for that person to ask for mercy. And that's what happened on this occasion. Choking a person will generally get an individual's attention, and in this case, the fellow who owed the $20 said, I'm willing to pay up. Like the first guy, he said, I just need some patience, I need some time, be long-suffering. Like the first man as well, the second guy did not dispute the fact that he owed the money. He didn't try to say, well, you know, I don't have the $20 today, would you take 10? Or would you take 5 cents on the dollar? No, he said, I'm going to pay you what's owed. Now, the man who had been forgiven the multi-million dollar debt should have accepted this and said, that's more than fair. But rather than be satisfied, as Jesus goes through this story, he says that the forgiven man decided to put that $20 debtor in prison. It wasn't enough to grab him. It wasn't enough to take him around the throat. It wasn't enough to continue to do that. But this fellow said, I'm going to get my $20, and since you can't pay today, I'm going to put you in debtor's prison. Now, at this point, it would be good for us to stop and ask ourselves a question. Once, you may remember that David, by Nathan, was asked a little story, or told a little story, and he was asked to make a judgment. So let's do the same thing. Let's pretend that Nathan has come to us, and he's laid out this story, and let's ask ourselves a question. There is this fellow who's been forgiven of this debt, multi-million dollar debt, and then he goes out and does this. How do we feel about the man who was forgiven the multi-million dollar debt? What's our judgment about him? As we think about that man, are we stirred in our minds? Are we angry? Are we upset? Do we think that this forgiven man deserved punishment? God should have gotten him because he was forgiven such a great debt and now he's going out and demanding $20. Does this story make our blood boil? I think for a lot of people it would. Remember how you feel right now, because we're going to come back to how you feel. And you need to remember that for a little later in the lesson. Jesus, as he goes through the story, says fellow servants saw. They didn't just hear about what the forgiven guy did. They saw what had taken place. The text says that they didn't like what they saw. So they go and they tell the Lord, they tell this king. Within the last 5 to 10 years, a few of us were out at lunch last week and I got updated, I guess, as far as what's taking place over the last decade or so. It used to be that people tattled. Tattling, I guess, is now out. If you have some younger children, they've probably been told about telling. And telling is the new word. It's no longer tattling. So I'm not sure if the king had some people come and tattle or if they told. But anyway, somehow the king got wind of what was taking place. And the king not only heard what was taking place, the king swung into action. In verse 32, as the servant who had been forgiven this multi-million dollar debt, as the servant is brought before the king, the Lord, that ruler, said, "You are a wicked man." Notice that description. You are a wicked, you are an evil, you are an unrighteous individual. And then the king offers this fellow a quick reminder of what had happened. The king said, I was the one who interacted with you a while back. I was the one who not only forgave you of the debt, but the king said, I was the one who forgave you all the debt. Multi-million dollar debt. We didn't negotiate it down. I forgave you every single penny. And then the king said this, because of what I did for you, you had an obligation. You were duty-bound to show mercy to others. In fact, you may not be able to see it in verse 33, but there is a word in the original text which has the sense of must. The idea there is the king said, you must show mercy to others. You had this duty. You had this responsibility. You didn't do that because you failed, because you refused to be merciful to others. You are a wicked man. The king was angry, verse 34. And because of that anger, he said, I'm going to deliver you to the tormentors until you pay. Now, our time is a little bit different than what we have in the first century and here in Matthew chapter 18. If you couldn't pay your money or your debts, back in the time of Jesus, you were taken to debtor's prison. There were some people who died in debtor's prison. Now, as Jesus hints at here, if you were taken to debtor's prison, you were tortured. And you weren't tortured because somebody just wanted to inflict pain. But if you were taken to debtor's prison, the thinking was you have some assets somewhere. You can cough up some money somehow. And if we twist the screws to you, figuratively and literally, you're going to tell us where the money's hidden. Or you're going to tell us about a relative who can come up with some cash. You're going to tell us about your secret property. You're going to tell us about some asset that you have. And once we get that out of you, then we'll be able to make sure that the bill's paid and then possibly you can go free. Earlier, I asked us to put in our minds how we felt about this fellow who's been forgiven a multi-million dollar debt he could have never paid, even if it had been chopped down to 90% as far as the forgiveness level. Or if he only owed 1%, he still couldn't have paid. He had that great debt, couldn't pay, forgiven, and now he tries to wrench out of this fella $20. And then after he can't get it, he sends him to debtor's prison. If we believe that that man who was forgiven behaved very, very badly, then here's the point. We're now to the point of application. We, if we are a Christian, have been forgiven a multi-million dollar debt. When it comes to the forgiveness of sins, it's like God has said you had a debt of $10 million or $300 million. And we could work our entire lifetime. We could give all that we have to God. Our family, the property that we have, our cars, our jobs. We could surrender it all. And God still says it is not enough. But through Christ, I have forgiven you of every single sin. Because we've been forgiven, Jesus says we've got an obligation. Remember that word must? He says you must learn to show mercy like the forgiven servant. Now, somebody says, well, what does that mean? I didn't deal with this morning, but I do want to insert it now. We're not talking about things like criminal behavior. You don't just pass the sponge over that. As I said this morning, there are times, there are circumstances, there are events which definitely need to be dealt with. And sometimes that's in the criminal justice field. Sometimes there are other events that have to be talked through. And sometimes relationships are broken. But at the same time, we also, as we go through life, sort of like the library illustration this morning, the 30 cents, and there are several of the illustrations in life which are like a $20 debt. Did someone hurt us? Yes. Did someone offend us? Yes. Did someone upset us? Yes. And maybe they are a repeat offender. But the next time we're tempted to not forgive someone, or the next time perhaps that we're tempted to hold a grudge, remember the debt that we've been forgiven of. And ask ourselves the question, the offense that bugs me so badly, the thing that seems so injurious to me, is it like a $20 debt? And if it is, what's the example in Matthew chapter 18? How often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? No. 70 times 7, why do that? The answer is in the following verses. Because we've been forgiven a debt that we could never, ever repay on our own. Be thankful for the mercy of God. But as you go through life, also apply that mercy, that grace, that forgiveness that you've received in your dealings with others. Because that will not only allow you to live a proper Christian life, but it will help show others the beauty of the gospel. Forgiveness is a great thing. And we hope that you're someone who has experienced that from God. You've believed in Christ. You've repented of your sins. You confess that Christ is the Son of God. You've been buried in Christ. And the forgiveness, when we use that word, there has been restoration. There's reconciliation as far as your relationship with God. Now try to apply that as you go through your life day by day. This morning, or this afternoon, it's, I guess, a little later in the day. Can we help you find that forgiveness from God? Do you need, in your own life, to extend that forgiveness to another person? If so, and we can help you in that way or another, will you let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song?